Wow, was that not great? Yeah. Praise to the Lord. And thank you all, Gary and Kim, for your leading in worship. I tell you, we are the most blessed people in all the world. We really are. And I'm guilty of this, and Lewis, you are too. I said I wasn't going to be bad to Lewis today, but we need to tell people out in the community, because they are missing this. And they don't need to. If you would be turning your Bibles to John chapter 8, verse 12. And while you're turning there, I know you're going to think this is funny, but this is, well, you may not. This is a piece of toilet paper. But let's see. Ben and Dorothy, they are visiting with us today. Just give them a hand. Man, it is so good to have, well, they've been here. She's here. I know she's here, but we're glad to have you. I haven't seen you. We've been gone. We've been gone, Dorothy. So it's good to see you all. And Dale and Sandy. Where are Dale and Sandy? With the Gideons. Right here. We are glad to have them. They're with the Gideons. Wow. Dude, they're on that campus. And Dale and Carol Tolander went to Branson this past week, celebrated their wedding anniversary, and she said we stayed 3 days, and the best thing, we did not argue. So, if you don't want something told, don't tell me. That's a true story. It is great today. I have the second most beautiful lady in all the world. Our daughter is here today with her husband, Scott. We are so glad to have Tad and Mackenzie home. Hey, give them a... Hey, stand up, you two. Stand up. Hey, listen, guys, thank you all. They have been sowing seed in probably the roughest, I think, because we're with the collegiate ministry, and we visit with collegiate ministers all over the world. They've been sowing seed in probably the toughest place there is. And guys, you may not see it now, but I promise you, when you're in heaven, that song that talks about what you did for others, you will see them. And so thank you all for sharing Christ like you have. This says, like, change oil. No? I don't know what this... Oh, change of heart. Thank you for the songs that... And without Him. And... While you're looking there today, today's title is The Lighthouse, this little light of mine. I asked Justin, I gave him about three or four titles. I said something like, I saw the light, the message is still the same, and this little light of mine. So Justin actually selected the title for us today. Thank you, Justin, for all your hard work to get this done. But The Lighthouse, Sweet Pea and I had a privilege to go spend the night in The Lighthouse. Our daughter and son-in-law helped make this possible. She's always wanted to do that, Sweet Pea has, so we did. We actually stayed in the lighthouse. We were on the island by ourselves for overnight in the lighthouse. No one else came, and we had the time of our life. We didn't answer any texts. We didn't call. We didn't text. We didn't do anything for that week except just, and we didn't even talk shop. We didn't talk church. We didn't talk BCM. We reminisced over how we first met when she begged me to take her out. I know what this other, Nathan Carter. Nathan is back home. He has a broken leg, but we're going to pray him through this. Nathan, he's just finished boot camp. And I don't think there's anything else. Well, anyway, so the title of the message has to do with the lighthouse. How many of y'all heard the song, The Lighthouse? Do y'all remember it? Yes. Do you know who wrote it? Y'all probably do. Ronnie Henson. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that right? 1970. And listen, this is, thank you, group of young people that just did what you did. Because sometimes, we work with youth for 50 years, sometimes we cut youth short. And I'm going to tell you, Ronnie Henson was a teenager in 1970. His folks were at the Pentecostal Tabernacle Church. I'm not sure where the place was. They were fixing to do a concert. He was the youngest, obviously, as a little kid. And he said, I'm going to write the next song for our group that will really speak for the Lord. And they kind of laughed at him. And then, of course, he said, well, I got to go to the restroom. So he went down to the restroom. He was gone for a long time. They couldn't figure out what was wrong. He came back, honestly, and on a piece of toilet paper, he had written the song, The Lighthouse. And one of the people grabbed it, did that, and said, get back to the hymnal. Get back to the hymnal. Said, man, that's not going to make it. His brother Danny, who was a guitarist, picked it up, looked at it, started playing it. And from there on, we have the song, The Lighthouse. Wow, God touched him. And what was really amazing is that, you know, Ronnie said, I had never seen a lighthouse. And so he got on his bicycle. He rode 30 miles to a lighthouse. And he sat on the dunes and looked at the lighthouse. And he saw the gray, cold sea like this world. And he said, for the first time, I realized God really gave me that song about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the lighthouse. And so if you will, if you turn to John chapter 8, verse 12, you know, the last 2 years have been really great for us. Keith Ham was by far maybe one of the best solo singers I ever heard in my life. But God has blessed us, and stay humble, but with Gary and Kim, as you come and lead. You want me to, music has changed. How many of you in here are over 60? Raise your hand. Is there anyone else in here? No. Is there? I know there's two in here. Our son-in-law had to kill me yesterday for, I don't know, 6 hours. He cut and I dragged, and he'd say, are you okay? You're slowing down. Yeah, they're young. But listen, you think about this, and it's the truth. Music has changed over the years. And we're not going to sing this song, but how many of you remember Everybody Ought to Know? Any of you remember that from camp? Everybody Ought to Know. Everybody Ought to Know. Yeah, I mean, wasn't that great? Everybody Ought to Know who Jesus is. That was in the 50s and 60s. Then along in the 70s came There's Just Something About That Name. Do you remember that song? Well, wasn't that beautiful? So talking about the name of Jesus, there's just something about that name. And then we're going to finish today when we have our invitation with a song, Isn't He? Oh, I think Gary and Kim introduced that to our church. Guys, it was written by a man that was, he was a drunk, he was a druggie. And I got to listen to, he is deceased now. But I got to hear his daughter-in-law share about him. And they said, how did he get to come to know Jesus? Was he in a Billy Graham concert? Was he in some, you know, evangelistic? She said, no. She said, a man came one day and sat down and said, hey, I'd like to tell you about Jesus. He said, I'm not interested. And he said, okay, would you just read the book of John? And she said, he started reading, and he couldn't put it down. So I'm going to encourage you today, if you don't know Jesus and you're here today, would you just go home and start reading in the book of John, where it talks about, I am the light. You see, the music has changed, but the message hasn't. Jesus loves you, and Jesus saves. You know, methods have changed. I can remember when we used to, some of you, how many of you remember when we had 2-week Bible school? 2 weeks. Any of you? Yeah. Two, and then it went to 10 days. Then it went to 8, and then it went to 5, and then it went to 4, and now we have what we call backyard Bible clubs, and we actually leave the church, which is good, because we go out into to the places where the kids really are, because some of them won't come in. And so we have one day, off and on, backyard Bible clubs. The methods have changed. You know what? Back in our day, we would have never had a screen, would we? Methods have changed. We wouldn't have had what we had this morning. Methods have changed. I can remember revivals were 2 weeks too, Jerry. You had a 2-week revival, and then if it was really going good, it kept going. Yeah, you remember? Yeah, it just kept going. And then we went to 8-day revivals, and now we do weekend revivals, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I guess we feel like we'll overdo the Holy Spirit if we went any longer. I don't know. But methods have changed, but the message hasn't. Jesus loves you, and Jesus saves. Messengers have changed. I can remember I took a friend to Irving Park Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And he was the best I believe, one of the best pastors and youth ministers I've ever known. And when we got there, he came out and he said, "I'm not going." I said, "You're not going? This is one of the largest churches at that time." It was 1968. One of the largest churches in the Dallas area. And they're calling you? He said, "No." I said, "How come?" He said, "Well, they told me that every day and every Sunday and every time I came to work, I had to wear black pants, black coat, black tie, and white shirt." And I like ties. Don't get me wrong. I still wear them. And I like coats. But the messengers have changed. At one time, the messengers would not have moved from behind the pulpit. It would have been a sin. But that's not the way anymore. Messengers have changed. Brother Allen, he's in his 80s. 35 years ago, he mentored me. He was 6'4", stood erect, strong, talked about Jesus. Today, he's almost 90, he's bent over, talks about Jesus. The messengers have changed, but the message hadn't. Jesus loves you and Jesus saves. I want you to look to the person on your right and left and just tell them, "Jesus loves you." Now would you just look to the person on your right? Kim, you don't have to look to your left, or Gary to your right. There's not anyone. Just look to the person now and tell them, "Jesus saves." Yeah. Thank you. Listen, as we read this today, then Jesus spoke to them again. You say again, that means he's already what? He's already talked to them at one time about this, trying to explain to them who he is. And look down, I love this, look down in verse 14, where he says, "I know where I came from and I know where I'm going, but you do not know." Listen, guys, Christ knew who he was. He knew where he was coming from. He knew where he was headed. And today, our generation and the one we should be helping have no idea who they are. Their identity is in everything in the world but Jesus Christ, and including possibly some of us sitting in this room. We don't know our purpose. We don't know where we're headed. But Jesus said, they were at the Feast of the Tabernacles. It was a great feast. It would have been like what we were doing this morning, celebrating and worshiping. And they were in the women's corner there. And you say, what does that mean? They had four big lamps that they would light, and those ladies would dance around and be excited because of their Lord. And so they understood when Jesus talked about light, they knew what he was talking about. It wasn't like he just came up with this, like, "Well, I'll just tell them something." I liked it. Jesus knew how to talk to people on our level, didn't he? And we understood. So he said, "I am." He knew who he was. And then he said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the life of light." Wow. To follow, that meant to completely surrender. It meant completely give up. It meant completely to say, "Listen, you're in charge of my life. You have everything. You have my decisions that I'm going to make. Everything about me." I call it RSVP. That means to do it real quick, doesn't it, I think? Is that correct? Respond quickly. RSVP. But here's what I think of when I think of RSVP. R is to repent, and we don't want to hear that anymore. I don't want to hear that because it means I've got sin in my life. But that's still what the Bible says. We've got to come back. If we believe it, then let's live it. I'm talking to me first. If we believe it, then live it. R, repent. Repent means to completely turn around, not only go in the opposite direction, but to run towards Jesus and to acknowledge, "I have sinned." We don't want to tell God that. He knows it. We don't want to tell anyone else. Repent. If we don't repent, our country is already in trouble. But our country is really going to be in trouble. Our families are in trouble. Our families are going to be in more trouble if we do not repent. It is okay to say, "I am sorry. Will you forgive me?" That's what Christ wants us to do. And the S is surrender. It's completely surrender. Say, "Listen, you've got full control. And if you do, you will have V, victory, and peace. P, peace. And I don't know about anyone in this room that wouldn't like to have victory in your life. Wouldn't you like to have victory over sin? Would you like to have victory over your disappointments? Would you like to have victory over your discouragement? Would you like to have peace in your life rather than getting up in the morning afraid to put your feet on the floor because you don't know what the day holds? And then he says, I am the light of life. John 1:4 said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Listen, guys, if you have invited Jesus Christ into your heart, you have the light in your life. Now, we are not the light. In fact, he told John the Baptist, he said, hey, you're not the light, you're the witness of the light. And that's what he wants us to do today. Oh, I didn't even know it changed. Great. It changed. He wants us today to be the light in a world that is dark. And in fact, he says, you are not to walk in darkness. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like it when it's dark. Ephesians 4:18 says, their understanding had given over to darkness. They had alienated themselves from the life of God. Listen, because of their ignorance. I didn't say stupidity, although it is stupid if you don't follow Christ. But out of their ignorance, because of the blindness of their heart, they couldn't see the light. Now listen, ignorance is not a bad word. It means you don't understand. And guys, there are people in this world that don't understand what it means when Jesus said, hey, I died for you. They don't understand when it says, I just want to live in your life. They don't understand when it says, I just want to love you. All they think about is rules and regulations, and bless their heart, I hear this all the time. You know, those people in the church, they judge you, and those people in that pastor judges you. And I'm thinking, that's the pot calling the kettle black. That's what they're doing. And if they could only see, we're not in a position to judge anybody. We're here to love and to welcome in. Listen, Jesus loves you. I said I wasn't going to do this, Lewis, but Jesus loves you just like you are. He loves you with your sin. He loves you with your fears. He loves you with your lack of faith. Jesus loves me and loves you just like you are. He just doesn't want to leave us that way. And so therefore, he's not saying, listen, now you clean up your act and you can come to church. The pastor that married us would have said Tommy Rot. I just was always hoping that wasn't an Indian curse word or something. I don't know. He would say Tommy Rot. Brother James would say Hogwash, if you ever knew him. He had that long Texas accent. I say baloney. I don't know. Anyway, listen, guys, Jesus just loves you. Didn't we say what? Jesus loves you and Jesus saves. And that was the reason people were not seeing the light. One, because of that. Another reason is that in Psalms it says, you are a fool who does not believe there is a God. Listen, guys. God, there is a God. I can't imagine anyone thinking that we just developed. Someone created us. His name was God. And he created the light. And so Jesus spoke out again, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the life of light. And the next one, by the way, you saw the lighthouse there. That's where we spent the night. It was just the two of us on that island. And wow, it was awesome. In the same way, let your light shine before people so that they can see your good deeds and give honor to your Father in heaven. Now, that was a picture we took right before sunset. Boy, isn't that beautiful? And the light is beginning to come on, and it's beginning to blink. In the same way, let your light shine. That is your testimony. That is your testimony. That's who you are. That's when people see us outside of these walls. In fact, I'm going to share with you three ways that we can be the light that ought to shine in this community. Number one is that we need to make a decision and make a choice that we will have a change in our culture. You see, our culture, our world today, correct me if I'm wrong, I am a positive person. I'm not a negative person, but I believe I'm positive on these things. Our world is filled with lies. Will you agree with that? It's filled with hate. Will you agree with that? And it's filled with confusion. Will you agree with that? And God says, I don't want it to be that way. Instead of lies, John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to me but by the Father. That is the truth. His word is the truth. We don't have to listen to the lies. We can go to the word, but the reason we don't know the word because we don't go to the word. We don't read the word. It's not going to just jump into us. Guys, we need to be in Bible study. I would encourage you, please be in Bible study. I need it. Be in Bible study. Be in study at your house. The lies, the hatred that's in this world. In 1 John 4:7, he says, I have a commandment that you love one another because God is love. That's our light shining. That's our testimony. That's our loving others. That's our loving others just where they are. That's our, even when in and you say, listen, buddy, I love you. I can remember when I was that way. I can remember when, oh, man, playing cards in college. Larry James said, hey, Billy. And I said, yeah. He said, didn't you tell me you were a Christian? And I said, yep. He said, then why don't you talk like it? See, I'd been using a lot of profanity. Not proud of that. I'm just telling you, being honest and transparent. Boy, what an eye-opener. What an eye-opener. Love one another. And then the confusion that's in our world. The Bible says that Satan is the author of confusion. And if you want to know a path, Proverbs 3:5-6 will give it to you. Trust in the Lord with part of your heart. Is that right? Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. There won't be confusion. Do you know why we're having confusion in our marriages? You know why we're having confusion with our children? You know why we're having confusion with our country? You could go on and on. It's because we have lost our foundation. When we were going through, the next slide, please. When we were going through Plymouth, we wanted to see Plymouth Rock, and we did. Now, I said, is that really Plymouth Rock? And the ranger there said, sir, I'll be honest with you, we don't know. We claim it is. And I read an inscription. I wanted to do a study on it. And I read an inscription, and boy, listen to what it said. And I think I want to give credit. It wasn't me that said it. It may have been like Elsie Bates. It was a lady. And she said, you know what? It doesn't matter. The only fact that matters is that they came and they stayed. It's not so important as to where they actually landed. However, it is good that a country, now listen, that a country would build its foundation on a rock. You see, there was a time when our country built its foundation on the rock. Not just a rock, but the rock. And so he says, He himself was not the light. I took that picture of Sweet Pea. I don't know if you can tell. The sun is behind it. And if you could see it in small, there's a big glow right around her. And you know what? She is not the light. But she is a witness of that light, I promise you. And that's what he's asking us to do today. Now, guys, listen. In fact, how many of you saw the light? Have y'all seen it in here? I only know one, and he's the one that turned it on. Y'all probably didn't know. This light's been shining the whole time. And you didn't see it because it was what? Covered up. In Matthew 5:14, he says, a city of light can't be hid. It stands out on a hill. And you see, that's where a lot of their cities were built, where you could see them, the lights, and know where you were going. I can remember praying one night when I was lost. I'd taken a kid home. I had no earthly idea where I was. I was in the boondocks, and I prayed, Lord, let me see the light. If I could just find the light of the town, I would know what direction to go into. And I drove till I could find a light. And when I found that light, boom, I made a beeline towards it and got home safe. And the next slide, he says, For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. And I like this. You know, I used to think it said you were once in darkness. But that's not what it says. You were once darkness. If you're here today without Christ, I'm telling you out of love, you're darkness. You're darkness. And we talked about that a while ago. That can either be out of ignorance or it can be willfully saying, I don't want to follow Christ. Now, I don't know how anyone in the world could not want to. He died for us. He loves us. He's preparing heaven for us. He gives us an abundant life. He gives us peace and hope and joy. Wow. What else? I don't understand it. What else could you want? And he says, for you were once in darkness. And see the fog there? When we were riding on the boat, the captain was training this other man. He said, sir, he said, you're going to want this instrument right here because I'm going to tell you, when it gets foggy out here on the ocean, you can't see anything. You can see nothing. And your hope is going to be in this. Our instrument is the Bible, the light, the Bible, the light. And so we are children of light. And the next one, these are people, I'm going to ask you, you think about who were people in your life that may have been a lighthouse. Remember, you're not the lighthouse, but in this picture right here, and I didn't circle that, by the way, that's me up in the corner, but I did not circle it, Justin circled it. He's laughing back there. That is in 1960. Guys, that is a year after I invited Jesus Christ into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I could not find the picture. He was not in it because they had moved. But I talked to him last Thursday. The man that led me to the Lord, April of 1959, he was the Sunday school teacher that quit because I was so bad. That is a true story. I was horrible. Oh, if I told you, you would fire me right now. And when we were working with our youth, they never could get anything over on us. They said, how do you know? I said, I just know. So we would catch them ahead of time. But that's me up there. That is a year after I was saved. I think I was 12 at this time, fixing to be 13. And that was my second year at camp. And on the fourth row up from the left and the third person over, that bald-headed guy is our pastor. That's William Hurd. He was a lighthouse to me. He loved me, but he told me about Jesus. And he corrected me. I can remember, if he said, Billy and Sammy and Bobby, would you come up here just a minute? Man, that was fine. He wanted to talk to us and invest with us and love on us. If he ever said Hughes, Justice, and Eskridge, we knew he'd caught us. But he was a lighthouse. He lived what he preached. And the lady on the bottom right-hand corner, over on the very far bottom, that's Shorty Johnston. I think Shorty was 60 plus in her age at that time. She never missed a trip. She went to Glorieta, New Mexico. She went to Ridgecrest. She went to Siloam. She went every place we went. And we loved her, Jerry, because we'd get in trouble. She'd go to the pastor and say, "Now, Brother Hurd, they're just boys." And we'd just go and tell them, Shorty, tell them. But you know what? That lady prayed for me every day till I came to know Jesus. Every day. She was a lighthouse. And after I came to know Christ, she prayed for me every day until she died. When I would come home from college, she'd say, "Billy, are you living for the Lord?" Oh, I hadn't had to lie to her. So I'd say, "No, ma'am." And she'd say, "You know you need to be." And she prayed for me, gave me my first Bible after I was saved. And I know y'all won't tell, but I've given that in a box to a grandson. He doesn't know it yet, and he's not to open that box until he's saved. And when he's saved, he's going to get that Bible. But in there is her name in the very front, Shorty Johnston. And she was a lighthouse. And the next one, lady on the right, the lady, only lady, his lady, in fact, that's what I call her. That's my grandmother. She prayed for me every day. Every day till I came to know Jesus. And she loved the Lord more than any individual I think I've ever known in my life. She was a lighthouse. You all have grandmothers that are lighthouses. And I'm going to tell you, there's people in this room that we are praying for, you are praying for, that are special in your family, I know, that need to hear Jesus. You just keep praying for them. She never gave up. And the next one, that's Brother Allen. He's standing out by that old motorcycle. He is the smartest pastor I've ever known. He's a great mentor. He loves the Lord. But he always wanted a motorcycle. And so I found this broken one. And we covered it with a sheet on his birthday and set it outside his house, ran over to the church, called, and said, Brother Allen, there's a gift for you outside. And we watched him come out, and he saw that sheet, and he knew the silhouette of a motorcycle, and he was grinning from ear to ear, and then he pulled that off. Oh, boy. We got to see what the wrath. No. But you know what? He was a lighthouse. He was the same day in and day out. And the next one, that's my beautiful bride. She's standing on what they call the widow's walk. And I wanted a picture of the light shining in her, because for 50 years she's been a lighthouse in my life. And I'm wondering today when God, I think that's the last slide, I'm wondering today when God is speaking to us about the light. I thought about the lighthouse. We bought this. This is a replica of the one we stayed in. And I got to thinking, our grandson, we saw it the other day, a little one said, how did you get in it? I said, wow, that's a good question. Through the door. You know, well, he thought we might have to, hey, in fact, you did. To get to the top, you had to climb I'm scared of heights. You had to climb a ladder, 15 rungs, straight up. And boy, my heart was beating. I wouldn't have done that for anyone else but Sweet Pea. But we're through the door. Isn't that what Jesus said? I am the door. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man's going to come to the Father. I don't care if you give all the money in the world to the church, if you're here every Sunday, if you preach, if you teach, if you sing, has nothing to do unless you've invited Christ into your life. And then, so we went upstairs, and on the widow's walk, I thought what the man was telling us, that's where the ladies would line up, watching in hopes that their loved ones would not die out in the ocean. And you know what they looked for? The light. They looked for the light. I'm going to tell you, those men knew what it meant to find that light. And as I read about it, you can't see it here, but we saw it in one of the other pictures of the jagged rocks and reefs that were around. And then when the fog came in, that's like our sin. It hid the light. And they didn't see the light. And our sin keeps us from seeing Christ. That's why I say repent. And then I got to thinking that was always built on a solid rock. Our foundation, the Bible, a solid rock. It was always encased with something extremely strong, I think, of faith and hope. And it was filled with a man that was in there that had to have courage and compassion and love and a desire to see people saved. You see, they were put at strategic places to save lives. I'm going to close with this. I don't know if this is a true story, but it's a good story. Anyway, there was a ship, and it was out on the sea, and it was coming in. It was really foggy, and they couldn't see. And all of a sudden, the guy at the control desk said, hey, there is a light, and it's giving us a message, and the message is, turn 10 degrees to the right. Although it didn't say right. It's whatever it is, and I've never been in the Navy, so 10 degrees. We'll say right today. Turn 10 degrees to the right. And the captain, who was pretty arrogant, said, you text back and tell that ship to take 10 degrees to the right. And so he did. He said, Captain, the guy texted back or flashed back and said, you need to turn 10 degrees to the right. He said, well, you sent him this message. Do you know who he's dealing with? This is the captain. And I'm telling you one more time, you turn 10 degrees to the right. And the last message that came through said, do what you want to. You may be the captain, but I'm the lighthouse. See, it knew. And you know, that's what Jesus has said all along. Jesus says, I love you and I save. And I'm flashing on the cross on the hillside that overlooks Life's Sea. It's called Golgotha. And he said, I've stretched out my life for you. Today we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to ask those in a minute that usually come forward up here. Listen, guys, if you're looking for a church home, I can't think of a better one. If this is where God wants you. If it isn't, then we'll help you find wherever it is. But if this is where God wants you, come and join and be a part of this body. You may just need to come today and pray with someone and say, man, I have fog in my life. It's called sin. I need to repent. Could we just pray together? Or you may come today and say, listen, you know what? There's two types of people in this room. Those that have experienced the lighthouse, we experienced it. We went in it. And those that haven't experienced the lighthouse. If you're here today and you've never asked Christ to come into your life, I would beg you, on the first note, don't let Satan say, don't go. Doesn't mean join this church. It means experience Jesus. Let him have your life. Or there's some that may just be hurting physically and just need prayer. Whatever God leads you to do, would you please do it? Father God, we love you. And Lord, truly, aren't you beautiful? And aren't you wonderful? And you love us. And you died for us. And you said, you are the light. Today, Father, I pray that no one will leave without the light. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.